Blog Talk Radio.
Yo! How do you like that for an opening? Is that different or what? Anyway, welcome to Local Voter Education Program. My name is Bob Willoughby. I'm afraid I'll be your host for the next few shows. The job is open. If you know anybody that would like to give a chance of hosting a show or get into the broadcast business, this might be a good opportunity to practice a little bit here with our show. The main point of this is we're using this as a tool for people to get more engaged and know who they are voting for before they vote. Over the decades, the last several decades, our elected officials have really put the kibosh on trying to get people involved in local government. They've got it set the way they want it. They like it. It's the best kept secret there to them. They are, you know, filling their pockets up. And as long as they don't have anybody else running against them, it's easier for them to keep this job. Don't let people get to know what's going on. They can get away with more. And that's what's going on downtown. So I'd like to see us change that. And the best way to do it is trying to get people involved by letting them know what's going on downtown and inviting candidates on to that they can talk to the candidates yourself. Now, I know that we do have forums around the city sometimes, meetings like that, but sometimes it's a pre-script questions. Some of the questions that are never asked that I would love to ask. I'd love to hold a town hall with the candidates, and I'd like to ask how many have ever been to a council meeting. They're running for mayor and council, so I'd like to ask how many have been to a council meeting before now. Have you ever attended one? How about a bond meeting, budget meeting? So these are the things that are missing, I think, in the candidates. And we need to find candidates that between now and the next election or next 2 years that really want to get involved, roll up their sleeves, start going to budget meetings, council meetings, know what's going on, and then give it a run for office then. And that's my suggestion to them. But also, we got three topics to pop on tonight, and I don't know if anybody's going to call in. I sent out invitations to candidates if they wanted to come on the show tonight and introduce themselves and get a chance to talk to them. So I don't know. We'll see. I didn't really work real hard at this. I'm not going to chase after people to come on the show or candidates. If they're running, they want to be here, this is a free opportunity to come on. They got to do this call and come on and take advantage of it. So it's a lot of work on this end. We ran this show for 10 months, something about a year ago, and I had a host, James McBride, did a great job. But it is a job on this side if you do it right, putting together the information and getting ready for a show and all that, and no one's paying us to do this. So, but the main thing is if we can get a better city out of it, it's not a waste of time or waste of money to me. So that's it there. And, oh, let's see here. There's three topics. One is the CCP funds. So anybody that comes in and tunes in, you can go back to the podcast and you can pick up on this you're missing here. But what I did, which I don't know how many people know anything about the CCP fund. I didn't know much about it until a few years back myself. And we had to vote on this thing. It was like $180 million. And a big hunk of it were given out to supposed to be nonprofit organizations to help our city, okay, to help our communities is what it's made for. And I've got a list here of about 20 so far that goes from June the 1st, 2021 to November 23rd, 22. And what I was wanting to do is audit to see where the money's going to find out how they're spending our money, because these are nonprofit. It's our tax dollars. And to tell you the truth, all this stuff that I'm asking them should be posted on our city website. You should be able to go somewhere on our website, hit a button for any one of these organizations and open it up and see a clear picture of where they're spending the money. And but anyway, I was attempting to do an audit on this, and I started off with the ones that were over $100,000. There's a few here under that, but all the ones over $100,000. So I started off with the bottom ones. United Community Centers is the first one. They got $240,000. Okay. So I contacted Frances, was the one that's responsible for that. Very nice girl. Did return the calls, which is better than I can say for our city council and our mayor. But she did return calls, and she did reply. I'll give her that, okay? But the problem is, here's the six questions I sent to him. I sent out a discovery for six questions to answer. And one is, number one is the name and contact information of employees. They have from 6/1/21 to 11/23. Okay. Two, employees' hourly pay and the amount each employee received from 6/1/21 to 11/23. Okay. The third question was receipts for purchases. The fourth one, have you received CCP funds before? If yes, how much and when? The fifth question, purpose for CCP funds. And the sixth question, do you receive a salary and how much? And it should have said of CCP funds. I think they knew what I meant. I made a mistake when I put that on there. And I got her reply and nailed it down to the six questions. The first one is not available. The answer is they won't give it to us. Not available. Not is what I've got there for not available for us. The second one's not available. The third one's not available. The fourth one's not available. The fifth one, purpose of CCD funds. Well, she gave me an answer on that. Safe haven and all this kind of stuff, and it goes on a little bit about how to support balance. She did a great paragraph there, but she could answer that, okay? The sixth, my salary is not paid by CCP funds, which it should not be, but we're just checking, and that's the right answer there. But the first four she did not answer. One, she did send back a thing saying that she wouldn't. There's a whole page. I mean, there's a lot into that page there you have to read, but at the end of the day, did not answer how much. She did say that the employees get somewhere from, I think, 12 or 14 an hour up to 20-something an hour, but it doesn't say which employees or names of employees or how many hours they work, none of that. Question number four, have you received CCB funds before? If yes, how much and when? Her reply on number four was, she has from time to time, but that's all I got. No one telling how much or when. So this is very vague. You know, it's not telling us anything. We really don't know where the money's going to at this rate right here. Not at all. So that's the answer from the first one. I sent out the same discovery again for my second one here, and they were at $151,000. They're called A.B. Christian Learning Center. Well, I went to their website, Loretta Burns. Also, they're not a licensed organization, as that it says on there, not a licensed. But nevertheless, I sent out the discovery, the email, and the phone call, and I've not got a return of any response from them yet, which I'll do another follow-up here next week. I'm going to call and contact again. But if they do not answer, and we cannot get any more than I'm getting from the first one here, there's no sense pursuing down the rest of these until we stop and change this and find out, are we going to be able to get information or not? Because this is just a total waste of time to go any further. But it should be, as far as my knowledge, anything that's non-profit and it's our money, taxpayers' money, it should be all publicized, you know. Maddie Parker ran big time on transparency. And you're talking about the most untransparent person there is. But anyway, that's on the CCP funds. We'll do some more following up on that. And I'll find out next week, or if I don't get an answer to them, and also just more following, trying to find out, are we entitled to more question answers or not there. Okay. One of the other problems I'm having here is what's going on with the police. After the Alanis Jefferson case, you would think that the officers would want to make a better relationship and try harder to do better with the citizens, but apparently, nothing has changed in this city as far as their behavior to people and the way it's going now and the way it's working. And what I experienced just not too long ago with my going to a meeting, that my council member, who is my opponent, at the Hanley Community Center I went to, she had me removed by two police officers and a bogus report written up, a 100% bogus report written up, saying that I was being disorderly. The problem with this, they cannot, in a room full of people, they cannot provide one person to accentuate that, okay? We could probably prove plenty. We could find plenty saying that's not true, but they're not looking on that side of the coin. But anyway, Officer Z Board wrote up a bogus report. I have him on film, camera outside. I filmed him. I asked him, did he see me do anything disruptive? He cannot answer that. He says, I'm not going to get into that. But he wrote the report. So I have no doubt in my mind if I was being disrupted, he'd had no hesitation saying, yes, you were disrupted. But the thing is that internal affairs is what I'm learning. Is really there just to protect the police from us or to only deal with internal problems. They're not there to for the citizens whatsoever. But I did file a complaint because the report I got from Officer Z was bogus. It favors Gina Bibbins, my council member, over me. It says that I was talking over Gina Bibbins. And what happened was right the opposite and can be proved. Gina Bibbins was speaking out of turn over top of me, but they write it the other way. And so that's why they do not want to rewrite this report. They don't want to write it to the truth because it would be very bad on Gina Bibbins if they wrote to the truth. And they are denying to rewrite this, and I'm fighting to get it rewritten to the truth. It's just not right to write things about people not true by our police department. Even though it might be a small thing, we can't let it ride because it's getting worse. When I took it to Internal Affairs, let's see here. Where is this? Okay. Sergeant Chad Scroggins, badge 3436. When I talked to him, he dragged this thing out. I had to call back again and again because he wasn't going to do anything to tell you the truth. He said he would. I have him on tape. I told him if I could prove my side of what happened, something would happen to the police officer. He said yes. But at the end of the day, this didn't happen. He came back with a bogus report itself, another bogus report here, to the bogus report I complained about. And I called Strogan about this, and this is not true. And I've asked over and over to find one person, which our Sixth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment gives us a right to see our accusers, to face the accusers. That's what it was for, okay? So we can see who's accusing us. And that's what it should be. And there's no one can verify none of this. It's all just hearsay, and nothing can verify it. So I told the officer, I said, now, if you talk to Channel 4 was there, which I'm going to be going to Dallas to Channel 4, the newscaster that was there, she saw exactly what happened. And why she's not responding, they're not responding, I don't know. That's why I'm going directly to their place next to Dallas, because you can't get them by phone or anything. I'll leave a letter there for her that I'm going to put some signs up, and I'm going to go to Channel 4, that this was a violation, a civil rights violation, right in front of her. I mean, two police officers came and got me and picked me up out of my chair, didn't even asked me to get up and walk out, just grabbed me so fast that it shocked me. I couldn't believe what was happening before I got out. I was out of the building before I knew it. So this is no way for them to act. This is not right. It's a one-sided thing. And so anyway, I do have a problem with it, but it gets deeper when you get the internal affairs writing bogus letters here, you know. So matter of fact, Monday I'll be down at the courthouse at the DA's office. I want to ask, is there any penalties for our employees that violate ethic codes? I need to find out that if there is or not. I don't know. There may not be any penalty. May not be any public repercussions for it. So that's what I'm going to be down there. I can't get a turn across. I'm going to ask. And if there is a penalty, what is it? And how do we enforce it? These are the things we need to know because not getting any worse. And I'm not going to take this lying down. I mean, I was just railroaded out. No one liked this, to be railroaded out of place. Something written down on paper, but it's not true. And then the police say they're not going to change it. You know, so, and they're not going to prove how they came to this. So, and then it writes something that benefits your counter, your opponent, and it puts me down and puts Gina up. We're just not going to, you know, it's just not right. But anyway, that's what's going on. That's what got me started in our politics, is this kind of behavior. It shouldn't be here. So anyway, we need some new council members. We need some mayors. We need a person in there that's not scared to take a stand. It's going to be hard to get someone to get in there, because once they get elected, I guess the new temptation hits them, and they really don't know how to handle it. They never had that much power before, you know, and they like it, and they eat it up, and it goes to their head, and they become out of control into a bubble. And that's what we got now. But we need people in there that are really need older people in there that have wisdom and can be guided by doing what's right for the city and the well-being of the citizens. So, well, the third thing I wanted to talk about tonight was the resetting the button back to the way it was when before Maddie Parker got in. She has changed more in the city in the last 20 months than it had been in the last 50 years. Unbelievable. All the things they ripped around to change just to fit them. This city's too large to be cutting down from four council meetings to two council meetings a month. The city's getting larger, not smaller. It's getting bigger. That's why they added two more council members. So they add two more districts, two more council members, and then they cut down to two council meetings a month. I mean, think about it. And the reason they did that, because they don't want to. And it really, it puts a strain. One's at 10 in the morning when no one can get there, and one, so we really have one. And they moved it up to 6 o'clock from 7 o'clock, so it's hard to attend them. It's got that, and then they put all the zoning on one, which was scattered out. So you got a long list of zoning. Every time you go there, you got 16 cases of zoning to go through. And when we had four council meetings, it was scattered out. It wasn't so bad on the people. So this is really ridiculous. And then they removed the public presentation from the council. Now you got to ask, what does other cities have that Fort Worth does not have? I mean, Forest Hill, Lake Worth, Arlington, Kennedale, White Settlement, Denton, Austin. They all have something in Fort Worth, though. They have a public presentation where the people there can come and speak at city council on any issue they want to talk to for 3 minutes. We got that right taken away by Maddie Parker and Gina Bibbins. Just don't believe that we are good enough to be at council meetings. We're not wasting their time for them to have to hear us. This is what we've got to get out of that office and get people in there that will start working for us. Myself, something I'd like to see us explore is take a page from Lake Works, what their system is, and do away with council and mayor in the city, okay? And what we do is we break it up. See how we got 11 districts, so-called districts now, which was a scam how they're putting this in. But anyway, we got 11. What we call it's 11 places, 11 spots, 11 numbers, or whatever, sections. Let me call them 11 sections, okay? And people still run for the section, but they'd be titled. Mayor's title would not be mayor, it'd be chair. And the others would be members of the board. And the way this works is that we, the people, are the stockholders. The board answers to the stockholders, okay? And we are the stockholders because they take our money. That makes us, every one of us that pays sales tax, anything, makes us a stockholder. And it's the same thing, basically, in there. But change their title from mayor to council member and bring them down off the celebrity hill they're on, the celebrity thing. This is a job. It needs to be done. It needs to be done right. Now, what would be different here is that no matter which place or section or however you want to call it, not district anymore, but we can call it whichever one of the slots out of 11 that a person wants to run for, I'm guessing someone inside that slot, maybe that should still, there's some points here that had to be discussed, but analyzed just a little bit, but someone maybe in that slot might be required, just like you would as if it was a district. But the catcher here would be, we across the city, we vote on everybody that's running, no matter which slot. We all vote across. Because people get elected in there, and they make decisions what affects the whole city, but we can't vote on everybody down there. We can only vote in one side. So they got us divided up to where our votes are divided. And if we did it the other way, then they'd all be accountable to us across the whole city, no matter what slot they're in. They would represent the slot they're in, because you have to, it's just like slotting up a job or splitting out a work chore, you know. These people take care of this one, that number, all up to 11 spots to take care of. But the key thing is, if you're running in slot 11 or 6 If there's three people running slot six, I have the right to vote for any one of those three people. Even though it's not my slot, I vote on who I think is the best person in that slot. Because at the end of the day, they're going to help us overall in the city. Now, that would give us more power. And I think it would be something. That's something to explore, to look at and think of. Maybe the general public wouldn't go for that. I don't know. That's another one of my things. We have to share things with more people, get more people involved, get more input, and see which way they want to go with the city, what they think, and how they feel. And the city council does not do that. They don't. That's definitely what they're going to do. So, anyway, I guess now we've been on for almost a half an hour. I have no callers in, so I don't know if anybody's listening in, but none of the candidates have called in, so I may call it an early night. There's no sense in me sitting here. I know the Super Bowl's on tonight. That's not a good time to have a show, is it? That is some tough competition with the Super Bowl, so I made a mistake there. So maybe that might be it. But we'll be scheduling a show next week, too. And I think the guest I'm going to work on getting on next week is, oh, yeah, I was saying reset the button back to like it was for Maddie Parker. Four council meetings of 7 o'clock at night. Public presentation where we speak back on the council and all that back like it was, okay? And then if we want to change and come back to some of this stuff, do it with the people. Same way I asked Chair Williams and Mike Crane, I asked them both before they changed their thing around to share it with the people. They didn't do it. They don't want to deal with us. They want to just do whatever they think. But anyway, next week I'm going to work on, I'll be calling a R.D. Howard Consultants. He's done a lot of work here in the area and a lot in the city and a lot of big projects, major projects. I want to see if he comes on. I saw him at a meeting the other night and talked to him for a minute. I'd like to get him on next week and tell you how Gina Bibbins is costing us over $100 million on the new highway project here. So I'll let him explain that on this also. It corresponds with something when I heard him talking. He tapped right on in the conversation when I was listening at this community meeting. Now, my thing is, for the last several years, I would love to see us put a children's amusement park on the east side of the electric plant, on the east side of Fort Worth here, right by on the Arlington Lake, and on the east side, the plant there is laying there. All they're doing is dumping trash there. It's a beautiful area. Plenty of room for parking, a petting zoo would be, I think, a wonderful thing for kids. The smaller rides for children, maybe up to 10 or 12, somewhere there and down. I don't know. Somewhere's that to be discussed. And also on the lake, maybe a 1,500 or 2,500 seat amphitheater, indoor-outdoor amphitheater. I work for Live Nation, and I work at the Toyota Center and several concert halls, and the one they have over in Urban is pretty nice. It opens up to an outdoor amphitheater as well as indoor. It has both, so it works year-round, and I really enjoy working there. But anyway, being in this business all my life around entertainment and merchandising and concerts and that kind of feel and knowing business there. And also, when I did talk to this person here at the end of his speech, I called him before he went out the door, I mentioned that to him. He likes that idea. He thought it was a great idea. And I think it is, too, because what a amusement park would do, it brings outside money in from all around. People come over from Arlington, everywhere else, and spend their money, and it comes into Fort Worth. So anything they'll bring, and that's where Arlington is very smart city. You look what they got, the Rangers, the Cowboys, Wet n' Wild, the museum. I mean, they bring it. That brings in tons and tons of outside money into your city flowing in. So it's very smart. I know amusement park is not a major, but it's one of those things that we need more things that will bring in outside money. It's very good. And also, it's good for the children. And a petting zoo, I think, would be a great thing to have there, a very good thing to have. So anyway, this is something I want to discuss. I'm going to be calling him to see if he'd like to come on and do a show next week, come on and talk about it more if he'd like to. And I'm in my studio down here. I got me a studio in the glass door. And about this time of night, I've got some raccoons that come up that I feed. They come and they stand right here and look at the glass door. And there he is right there. He's got his little head up there, and he's standing on the door. He's ready for me to bring him some food, and I feed him the dry cat food. Yeah. But anyway, I take care of them at this time of night. I got about 4 or 5. They come in here and they eat. It's fun to watch them eat, I think. But anyway, so I'm going to go feed the raccoons, I think is what I'm going to do. And I'll try to get hold of that guy, and we'll see if we can schedule a show next week. And I'll reach out to any other candidates that might want to come on or whatever. No one called in tonight. So anyway. Anyway, it was a chance for me to vent for a while and share a little bit of information with you. So if you have any idea of topics that we should talk about on here, give me a call. Let me know. Having said that, I think we're going to sign off for the night. And next week, we'll try that. And but really, we need to get people involved with our city. The city's going the wrong way. I mean, rapidly the wrong way. So I hope you understand the importance of it. The police are not doing right on several things. And it's us. We outnumber the council members down there and the people. We outnumber 1,000 to 1. If we just get people on board to vote, or also you can join my local voter education program at nextdoor.com. You can Facebook me at Bob Willoughby. Or the main thing is I have an email list, b.willoughby, W-I-L-L-O-U-G-H-B-Y, at live.com. And what's about this email? I'll reach over 300 or 400 people, I take with me, I send out, is that on there I deal with the city employees, city officials. This is where you get work done. Social media is very good for sharing information and venting, but that's it. That's where you draw the line. You don't get work done on social media. If you want to get something done, accomplished, it's through the emails. So if you'd like to join my email list, the bigger it gets, the more we get done because council pays attention to it. It's over maybe getting close to 300 big, but if we can get up to about 1,000 and we go in, every time I send them a question, it goes to you and it goes to them, and they know the question is being seen by a lot of people. So they answer. They respond. When I first did an email list with no one on there, I didn't get no responses. But when it started growing, they started paying attention. So if we can grow that email list, we can really do a lot there just on there. And that's all you'll be getting. It's just information on what's going on and how we get things done with the city. And you'll know exactly what we're asking for. What to put on the ballot is what we're asking. Term limits, campaign contribution limits. If you're on the email list, that'll help. The bigger that is, the more people know it. We'll see what their answer is, okay? So I appreciate it if you join that. Website's fwdistrict5.com. You can reach me through my contact there and give me your email. And if anybody goes back and listens to this iPod or if anybody's listening on the Internet. So anyway, no phone calls in, so have a good night. Enjoy the Super Bowl if that's what everybody's watching, okay? Maybe I'll see the end of it here. Take care. Bye-bye.